Our second study in the book of Jeremiah brings us to Jeremiah chapter 3. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Almighty God speaking to his people Israel, a very disobedient people. Verse 1, they say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and become another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. God's law stated that if a couple divorced and married someone else, they could never go back to their original spouse. Well, Israel had left God and committed spiritual harlotry with other idols, or with idols, I should say. But God says, I'll take you back if you repent. Verse 2, lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see. Where have you not lain with men? By the road you have sat for them, like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. And so, like a cult prostitute, Israel committed spiritual adultery with any idol that came close to her corner, as it were. Verse 3, therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. God sometimes uses bad weather to try to get the attention of people who have gotten deep into sin. And God punished his people with bad weather, but they would not respond by repenting or even admitting, really, that they sinned. Verse 4, will you not from this time cry to me, my Father, you are the guide of my youth? Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. You know, the Israelites, they talked so piously, but they didn't repent. They asked God not to be angry, but they wouldn't change the behavior which made him angry in the first place. 6. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass, through her casual harlotry, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. The northern kingdom, Israel, was punished by God for her idolatry. The Assyrians came and ransacked her country and took her captive. The southern kingdom, Judah, saw what happened, but followed the bad example of the north anyway, didn't learn from her mistakes, followed her example. And as a result, they were punished as well, or they will be, which is what this epistle is all, or this prophecy is all about. And you know, actually the south, Judah, was more guilty than the north, because they had seen what happens when a nation disobeys. Their guilt was greater, because they sinned against more light. 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. and I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not remain angry forever. He says, only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that's what pastors are supposed to do today. Feed God's people with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will no more say, they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. At that time Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. They shall walk no more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. And so the promises of restoration and great blessings for Israel will be fulfilled ultimately when they turn to Christ. 19. But I said, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the host of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. And that was their problem. You know, God wanted to bless his people, but it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening because they wouldn't repent. God was not standing in the way of their blessing. They were. 21. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. See, the cure for the misery of God's people is for them to repent. And God lays out how they should repent. It's too bad that they didn't follow the pattern. They only got worse until Babylon destroyed them. Chapter 4. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear, the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. For God to bless, there has to be repentance. And for repentance to be genuine, the sinner must get the sin out of their lives, because that's what repentance is. Unfortunately, sometimes sin has such a grip on a person that the only way they will give it up as if they are smacked right between the eyes with a big fist of trouble. 3. And that's what's going to happen to Israel. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. A farmer can't get a crop if they don't plow their field before they plant. And Israel needs to plow their life by repentance before God can plant seeds of blessing. There are no shortcuts to God's blessing. It comes through the discipline of repentance. 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. If they don't repent, God promises to punish. And if they let it get to the point where God is punishing, there will be no turning back. Verse 5. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard toward Zion, take refuge, do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth. Lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. In case any of God's people are interested in what his wrath might look like, he describes it. God says a wicked and ferocious nation from the north is going to come in and tear them to pieces. And of course, that wicked and ferocious nation is Babylon. 10. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches to the heart. And I can't believe Jeremiah said this, to be honest with you, because God certainly doesn't water down his prophecies to mislead anyone into thinking that all will be well, even if they do not repent. God is not a deceiver. God is a straight shooter. But God did allow the false prophets to tell those kind of lies to the people. See, he expects people to have sense enough to reject that sort of unbiblical nonsense. 11. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the desolate heights blows in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan or to cleanse. A wind too strong, for these will come for me. Now I will also speak judgment against them. The hot and very strong east wind that blew into Israel from the desert was a burning wind. It was a destructive wind. It wilted her crops and made life miserable. God says, the nation I'm sending against you will destroy like that wind that you dread so much. 13. Behold, he shall come up like clouds, and his chariots like a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are plundered. God pictures the invading army of the Babylonians as a storm, a severe storm coming upon the land, with strong winds, very destructive. 14. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? The bad will be very bad, and it will happen unless they turn from their sin. And did you notice what God says? Israel must purify themselves. You know, those who say that purifying has nothing to do with a sinner's choice to repent, but is simply a sovereign act of God, totally beyond our cooperation or our control, they're going to have to add this verse to the multitude of lists, the multitude of verses that they must either twist or explain away. 15. For a voice declares from Dan and proclaims affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make mention to the nations, yes, proclaim against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and raise their voice against the cities of Judah. Like keepers of a field, they are against her all around, because she has been rebellious against me, says the Lord. Your ways and your doings have procured these things for you. This is your wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches to your heart. When calamity strikes, and it will strike, when it strikes the sinners, it is their own fault. When one chooses the path of sin, they must accept the consequences of calamity. 19. Oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered, and my curtains in a moment. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Jeremiah cries because his people are so foolish and evil, and because of the punishment that they will suffer as a result. And none of it had to be. It was all such a waste. 23, I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken, I have purposed, and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. Let's stop right there for a second. God's judgment here is described, I think, as a reversal of creation. You look at the creation week in Genesis chapter 1, and it's like a reversal of that. God's judgment will cause things to go from chaos, cosmos, I should say, to chaos, and from beauty to destruction. 29. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up on the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man shall dwell in it. And when you are plundered, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with crimson, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in labor, the anguish as of her who brings forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion bewailing herself, who spreads her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. And so God describes what's going to happen in the day that he punishes. Some in Israel will run and hide from the attacking army. Others will put on makeup and try to get on the good side of the enemy. But nothing will work. This is God's judgment, and nothing will stop it. And we'll pick it up in chapter 5 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.